Some more of that activity in Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning, Southwestern. How's everybody feeling today? Good? Hey, you can talk back to me. How you feeling today? All right? I come from a background in our church plant where we welcome feedback, we encourage it. So if at any point in the message you sense agreement, you can say amen. You can give a mm-hmm, you can give a hallelujah. If you're really into it, you can stand and say preach, all right? But that's really reserved for special moments. I do bring a greeting. I wanna just take a second and honor Dr. Greenway. Come on, can we give it up for our president here who is shaping a life-giving, gospel-centered, Christ-proclaiming culture here at Southwestern. I've been here for a day and am feeling the effects of that in my own life. Really quick, I'll show a picture of my family on the screen. I wish they could be here this morning. My wife, Nina, and our two sons, Epaph and Asa. You can see we got one more on the way. That says May. So we got another little boy coming. We had to grow the church somehow. And so we figured we would be faithful to be fruitful and multiply. And so God has been super kind to us, and again, she would have loved to be here, but they said, you can't fly when you get too close. So in her place, I've brought my friend, Pastor Ryan Ivey. He will be our first church planter out of our church, Walk Church. He and his wife, Kirsten, are set to plant Image Church in 2020, and I know it's been a fruitful time with you being here as well. Is anybody excited about March Madness? You can don't be shy, it's okay. I'm a basketball guy, all right? And one of the things that I've been learning about this March Madness, talking about the different players and coaches, I've been hearing this word legacy thrown around. That this coach is leaving a legacy. And that began to speak to me, and I asked this question: what's the legacy of God? What type of legacy has God left for us? If I were to title my message this morning, it would be The Legacy of God. I like this definition from Dictionary.com, anything handed down from the past. What has God handed down? Come on, he's handed something down to us, hasn't he? What has he handed down? I think there's much to be said to answer that. But I want us to go to a specific passage that speaks to the legacy of God, that speaks to what he has done for us, that speaks to what he has given us, that I pray would encourage us in the context of church planting, and what God is doing in your life and at this seminary right now. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do. If not, we got the cheat sheet for you on the screen, amen? Right? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're gonna look at two verses, 20 and 21. When you get there, say, I'm there. Y'all quick, man, that was a quick flip right there. If you're there, say, I'm ready. If you're hungry to eat from the word, say, let's eat. But before we eat, let's go ahead and pray one time. God, we thank you for your word. Feed us this morning. Thank you for this time of chapel. God, we do not want to waste time. We're not here to play around. We need a word from you today. We don't need to hear another message from a man. God, we need to hear you speak through your word through a man. So God, in humility, I ask for your spirit to now take your word and do what only you can do. Give us a fresh understanding of the gospel. Give us an excitement about how big you are, Lord, for your glory and our joy. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to open our hearts and minds to your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21, this doxology from the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Ephesians, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Verse 21 says, "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." As we look at these passages together, I want us to just take a second and bring some brief exposition to each word. Each word proves true, amen? Each word is profitable for us this morning and is helpful for us today. The first word that I like for us to see is the word now. No amens for the word now. But if we could just highlight that word for a second, I want to double click on it and make it bold, because really when I was studying this passage, God stopped me and he said, Hayden, I'm doing something now. That should give us some encouragement. I've never found the verse where God says, I'm the God of I was. What does he say? I'm the God of I am. That I am doing something now. Let me give you a definition for the word now. At the present time or moment, without further delay, immediately at once, I believe that we can learn from the past. In fact, I just took a picture with Charles Spurgeon notes, and I have my message for this Sunday, amen, right? But really, I'm excited about what God's doing now. I'm excited about what God's doing at this seminary now. I'm excited about what God's doing in my life now. I believe that when Jesus says in the book of Psalms, right through David, he says, this is the day that the Lord has made, right? So I'm gonna rejoice and be glad in it, that God is doing something in our midst right now that we should get hungry about, we should get excited about, we should start compelling others about. Right now is the moment. That I'm not gonna live off yesterday's grace. And I'm not gonna rely on yesterday's miracles when God is saying, come on, right now, I wanna do something here. And if we get excited about now, then God will say, I'm gonna do something right now. And that's what Paul is trying to wrap our hearts around in this first part of Ephesians 3:20. He says, now, let me focus in right here. He says, now, to him who is able. Now to him who is able. If we look at that, I want you to see that in the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New, many scholars have believed that God has defined himself with over 20 to 30 different types of names. There's all types of names of God in the Bible. Come on, we're here at seminary. What are some of the different names of God in the scripture? Yahweh, God, Elohim. Anybody? Come on now, help me out. Jehovah, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is my favorite. The reality that God is with us now, amen? Right, you see all these different names of God, but right here in Ephesians 3:20, what I want us to get to see is that God affirms and refers to himself as the God who is able. That God's name in this passage is, I'm the one who's able. Now, maybe you would ask, what does that mean? What does it mean for God to be able? I believe that means that God has the power, that he has the skill, that he has the means, resources, capacity to do something great. He's able, amen? Do you believe that he is able? Maybe you think, well, able to do what? Let's talk about some of God's ability that we see throughout the scriptures. If we go back to the book of Daniel, we see the hot boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, right? They're in the fire and they're approached with this tough scenario, and here's their words to the king. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, amen? And if he doesn't, he's still God. But I just want you to know, King, that he is a God who is able to do it, and he did. So we keep reading into Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus, in his discussion with the Pharisees, says, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham for a second. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced, come on somebody, God was able, right? He was able to do what he had promised. We get a little bit more clarity into this passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, isn't that challenging right there? Right, Abraham receives this calling on his life to to sacrifice his son to the Lord. He marches up the altar. He's there at the top of the mountain, and all along, Abraham in his mind by faith is saying, look, even if this happens, God's still able to bring him right back. Talk about faith into Abraham's heart right there, that God is able. Maybe this morning you'd say, well, Pastor Hayden, you don't really know my life. I'm struggling, I'm suffering, I'm stumbling. Some of y'all stumbled into here. I got a word for you this morning. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Maybe you'd say, well, what about my lost friends? What about my friends that are so far gone? What about my dad who's not a believer yet? What about my sister and my good friends and teammates who are thinking about the things of the gospel, but they're not quite there? I need to know that God is able there. Well, I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that says, consequently, he is able, come on, to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. But I want to encourage you this morning with a reminder of the ability of God. Maybe you'd say, well, what about when I'm tempted and nobody's watching and it's just me in front of my computer, it's just me in my car, it's just me in my mind, what about then? Well, Hebrews 2:18 tells us that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Do you receive that reminder this morning? It's a good word of encouragement. Well, maybe you would say, well, man, I'm going to seminary, Pastor Hayden, so my pockets is short. They're weak. I don't got any more money. I can't tithe. I can't be generous. I don't know what that looks like. Well, we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 9, a similar scenario. It says that Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents that I've given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I thought everybody was going to say amen to that. That God has the ability, the capacity to do more. This is the God who's able. My favorite able verse happens to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. How about we read this off the screen together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. This is the God who's able. The legacy that God has left us, friend, is that he is able and he is with us. That when it comes to church planting, we need to stop having the woe is me mentality and stop thinking our cities are too hard and too tough. And the call, and we quote statistics like, man, we're just drowning in it. When we need to be speaking back to the statistics, I know, and God is able. That I get it, I see it, it's a tough place, but I'm going with the God who is able. When Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 28, his closing words, the last words, behold, I'm with you. That was a confidence boost to say that he's able. He's able to do more. Revivalist A.W. Pink once said, happy the soul that has been awed by a view of God's majesty. The soul that starts to understand, man, God is really, 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 really big. That he is really able to do this thing. And he's going to use me to do it will encourage us today. Now, maybe you'd say, well, take me deeper into the text. What's he able to do? Now, watch this. The Apostle Paul, I think many scholars believe as they look at the original language, and some of you are in the room, right, would maybe affirm this, that Paul potentially made up a sentence right here. That Paul was in a perplexed situation. He's trying to think of words to describe the ability of God. What could I use? What words could I use to describe God's ability? Let's see what he does here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the second part of the verse. He says, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all. Did y'all just catch that? Paul took every word he could think of and crammed it into one sentence. I mean, I want us to just take our time here and let's pull up all these on the screen just with some snapshot definitions. How about God is able to do far? Have you ever thought about that word far? The definition for the word far is a great distance. That God is able to go farther in your life. You may think that your chapter is closed. Can I remind you something this morning? God's able to go farther. You receive it? It's not over. You're still breathing. God's able to go farther. Be reminded of him who is able to go far, my friend. But not just far. He's able to go far more. The word more is a greater amount or measure. I'm taking advantage of these things in Las Vegas. That I'm in my city that's 92% unchurched, and when I walk into Walmart, or when I walk into Chipotle, or when I walk into the basketball gym, I'm not thinking, woe is me. I'm thinking, God, you're able to do far more here, amen? Like when I'm thinking, God, you got more in the tank. I'm cashing in on your legacy. Ephesians 3:20 reminds me you got far more in store. That not only far more, but far more abundant. Where did the word abundant come from? Abundant meaning occurring in large amounts, well supplied, over sufficient, great in quantity. That when God is saying I can do far more abundantly, that it's big, y'all. That sometimes we put God in this box and God's like, yo, I created that box. I don't fit. I made it and I'm able to do more than that. I need to be released to be free in your life. So don't hold him back. Let God be who he is. Friends, I believe that our big God theology is likely not nearly big enough. Amen. That our big God theology needs to get bigger. Amen. That our English words are trying to figure out what Paul's saying. He's able to do far more abundantly. What about beyond? Far more abundantly beyond, outside of the limits, outside of our understanding. This year, we are in our third year of church planting, and I began to pray and dream about some God-sized goals and prayers for our church. And I just said, Lord, what would it look like if we just baptized 30 people this year? How exciting would that be? And God was like, go more. I'm able to do more. I'm able to do abundantly more. And I said, well, what about 40? And he said, well, go more. And if you miss it, you miss it, but go more, right? And we're on pace for that. We just baptized our 91st, I don't even know how to say that, 91st person in our church this past weekend, man. And the real stories of life change, we're not quick to get somebody wet. It's real life change happening. And I'm excited about that because I know he's able to do more. Amen. Right? I'm walking into those atmospheres confident because of who he is. I'm not confident in myself at all. I mess it up every day. There's a reason why Jesus says deny yourself every day. Because the more we can deny ourselves, the more he can do more. The more he can live in and through us and do abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. The next word, beyond, outside of limits or understanding. How about all, the whole quantity? The whole quantity God is able to do. So he's able to do this. I think we need to be aware of his bigness. Aware of the authority that Jesus carries when we plant churches. Aware of the authority that God has a calling on your life. Talk about awareness. One of my favorite messages of Jesus is when he was asleep. Y'all know it? Right? They're on the boat in Mark chapter 4. Jesus is passed out in the bottom part. I mean, isn't this a great message from Christ? The disciples are freaking out. They come down to the bottom. Jesus, wake up. He's sleeping. He's preaching to them. I'm so big that this storm isn't even concerning me. And Jesus walks out of the boat. Be still. And the winds and the waves listen. How big is our God? And Jesus says, you have little faith. I'm with you. I'm able. How about the faith of the centurion who comes up to Jesus and says, listen, Jesus, you're important. I'm important. But you're so much bigger than me. Look, we don't even need to go to my servant's house. I believe you're so big. You have the ability right now in this moment to say, my servant will be healed. And we don't even need to go there. It'll happen. And you know what Jesus said? What was Jesus' response? I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel. I think the centurion was aware of God's ability. This happened for me yesterday in just a neat moment. There's a mission team from one of our partnering churches, Prestonwood Baptist Church, is coming out to Las Vegas to serve with us in 2 weeks. And we were there at Prestonwood yesterday visiting Pastor Graham, and he said, man, make sure you tell Southwestern a greeting from my way. And here's my greeting from him, right? And we were there, and we're getting ready to leave, and I'm getting inside the Uber. And I looked at Ryan. I said, oh, my gosh. I was supposed to visit the team leader of the trip, Jacob. And now we're in the car, and we're not going to be able to see him. That's such a bummer because he works on staff there, and I missed him. He's going to be upset with me. And they said, where do you want to go eat? And I said, let's just go to Chipotle. And we drove up the street, and we were going about 5 minutes down the road. And all of a sudden, I said, well, there's a Chipotle right there. And the driver just turns in there. I said, let's just go to this one. We walk in there, and there's Jacob eating his food. And I just sensed God whisper to me, man, I'm able to do more. Like, I don't need that to know that. But they're just reminders of me that my God, friends, is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you can even ask or think. Let's talk about that really quick. As we look at these words, let's apply them to the next part of the verse in Ephesians 3:20. He's able, let's look at it, to do far more abundantly than all that we can. Do you guys know what the word is? All that we can ask. If there's ever a verse that should drive us to prayer, it should be this one, that God is saying, I'm limiting my activity. Come on, right? That in God's sovereignty, he's choosing to limit his activity to the prayers of his people. He's saying, I could do so much more if y'all would just ask me. What if we started to pray bigger prayers? I mean, God-sized prayers. I mean, prayers that only God could get the credit if it happened or not. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we start to pray that every chair in this place gets filled up? That people get hungry for the Lord again? That we see a church planting movement happen in our city? That God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can even ask? And maybe you would say today, well, what should I ask for? I don't even know. Sometimes, Pastor Hayden, my prayers are so deep that my heart is so tough that I don't even know. I can't even ask it. I only can think it. I can't even find it in me to ask. Isn't it a good news message that he's able to do far more than you can even think? Like God saying, well, whether you ask it or even if you just think it, I'm able to do more. A couple months back, I took a mission trip with some pastors in Las Vegas to South Asia, and we were in a context that was tough, heavily Muslim or Hindi-speaking people. It was eye-opening, to say the least. I was walking with a pastor that was local there, as well as a translator, and he looks at me while we're in the marketplace one day. And he says, we're going to go up there. And I said, where? And I'll show you this picture, this first picture on the screen. As I was developing this message, we'll see if we can pull it up. If not, it's okay. But this picture is looking at this village that's far away. And he says, we're just going to up there, kind of see in the top. I took this with my phone. You can see that like little orange house up top. He says, we're going to go up there. I said, have you ever been there before? He's like, no. But we're just going to go there. And we're going to look for opportunities, and we're going to pray for divine appointments because God's able to do more. And let's ask him for it right now. And so I'm like, all right. And I'll tell you what, we began to hike through these neighborhoods. And it hit me in a moment of weakness after walking past about 20 to 30 different women with the full burqa set, Muslim call to prayer blasting on the speakers, the Hindu lowercase g God of Ganesh over every doorpost, that I started to get discouraged and I said, God, what am I even doing here? How can I be effective here? And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Ephesians 3:20, whispering in my spirit, I'm able to do more. And I said, all right, God, in my heart while we're walking through, God, I ask you right now to do more. You're able, I believe it, so do it. Right there in that moment, I see three guys to the corner that are staring me down. Right, I'll show you a picture of these guys on the screen. They're looking at me with this look, and these guys give me a head nod to come over to them. And they say, what are you doing here? A great question to ask. And in that moment, man, I was like, well, I'm from America. I'm a teacher of the Bible in the States, and I'm here because I want to learn more about what you guys believe and get to know your culture better. And they said, well, we like the way you dress. So we got to talk about fashion in that moment, and I got to share my story. And then the gentleman to my far left, his name's Janesh, he comes up and he's listening in the background. And after these guys leave and I was able to share the gospel with them through a wristband, I gave them each a wristband. They didn't necessarily respond in faith, but they said, I like it. Janesh says, hey, could you come to my house and share with me what you were telling them with my entire family? I said, can we go to his house? They're like, that's why we're here, let's go, right? And so we begin walking with him. He invites us into his home, and then he's gone, he disappears. And so I ask our translator to say, where did he go? And his mom says, he's going to invite the friends and family from all around. Before we know it, we're in this house. It's the size of your walk-in closet. And it's standing room only in the house. And so I say, okay, now everybody's here. I say, man, has anybody heard of Jesus? That was my opening question. And if there was about 15 people in the room, about 7 of them said, who's that? You know Jesus? I don't know Jesus. Now, a few of them said, I think I've heard of that name before. He's a god, right? He's one of the gods. And one of the guys flips a light switch, and underneath this table is a lit up shrine for the elephant god Ganesh. So is that what you're talking about? And our translator there was able to walk them through my testimony, a clear presentation of the gospel. The spirit invaded the room, you guys. I'll show you a picture of the family. We got a picture there afterwards. This is us in the house. And for the first time, people's eyes are lighting up, hearing about the gospel of Jesus. And I said, hey, listen, I'm going on a plane tomorrow. But here's what I want you to know, that God took a city boy from Las Vegas all across the world and put me in your house to share this message with you. One of your relatives said he had a dream about Jesus in that moment. This can't be on accident. God is able to do more. He said, before you go, and he asked a local pastor with me, can you come back at this same time next Wednesday and bring Bibles in our language so we can learn this for ourselves? Come on, friend, we're living in the book of Acts, y'all. If someone wanted to clap, I'm gonna clap with you, right? I believe that he's able to do more, that we should start asking again, thinking again. When we were getting ready to plant Walk Church in Las Vegas, I had all of these real estate places and schools tell me the same thing. No, you can't meet in our church, and you can't meet in our school, and you can't meet in our office. And I would say, why? And they would say, well, because churches are a burden. Churches are often seen as a parasite rather than a partner. They like to take and come in and take everything for free and don't pay on time and don't operate with a spirit of excellence. We don't want to deal with it. And so finally one day, I drove into the school that I used to sin in as a middle schooler. And I hadn't been to this school for a decade. And I pull up at this school and I just by faith walk in. I say, I would really like to talk with the principal about our church meeting here, and they gave me 30 seconds with the principal. And she said, "What do you want?" Brand new principal there at the school. I said, "I'd really like for our church to meet here, and I promise you this, our church is gonna be a blessing and not a burden." And she said, "Well, fill out the paperwork and get out." It was stone cold Steve Austin, man. Like, just so tough. Like, I said, "Thank you." I filled out the paperwork, got the insurance, came back and said, "Here's what," and she said, "I'm gonna give you 3 months not to mess it up." We met there at the school for those 3 months, and I came back and I said, "Hey, can we meet for another 6 months this time? We're not gonna mess anything up. We wanna be a blessing. How can we serve y'all?" She said, "I don't have any way for you to serve us. We don't want you to get in our way. I don't have time for you." So we got out. And through this time, we're praying. We're asking God, "God, use our church to be a blessing in this community, not a burden," right? We're not just here to take. We wanna bless this house, this school that the Lord has placed us in. Well, in June of 2016, finally, the principal says, "Okay, I'll meet with you. Share with me your idea." And I said, "Here's what I'd like for us to do, principal. I'd like for our team to show up here at the school, and I'd like for us to cook out for the teachers and the staff here. And we'll bring all the food. We'll pay for it all, and we're gonna get the really good stuff, right? The Hebrew National hot dogs, like the chunky beef Angus burgers, all types of cheese, sodas. We're gonna do the whole thing because we wanna bless the teachers." She said, "Okay, you can do that." I said, can we wear our shirts? And she said, "No, this is about solely the teachers." And we said, "That's why we're here." So now I want you to just imagine this for a second. We're there and we're serving the teachers, and teachers are coming through the line. And one day this teacher stops and she goes, "Man, this is amazing. The atmosphere that you guys are putting on for us is incredible." And she goes over to Principal Knepp and she looks at the principal and says, "Principal Knepp, you're awesome. You brought all these people here. You bought us all this food and you put this event on for us. You're the best principal I've ever had." And she gives her a big hug. She goes, "Thank you for doing this for us." And she goes and sits down. And I still remember like it was yesterday, the principal looks over to me and I was just handing people chips. And she says, "Come over here." She gives me this head nod. And she asked me one question. She says, "When can we do this again? Can we do this more?" That was June of 2016. We're now in March of 2019. And we have done that same cookout at the school every month since then. And God has moved in our school in ways that we couldn't even imagine until we started to ask him to do it. That lady that came through the line, her name's Miss Munoz. I wanna show you a picture of her. This is a picture of her when she got baptized at our church. Finally, she said, "Listen, I'm ready to start coming. I'm ready." Yeah, man, I'm gonna clap with you. If we have it, we'll pull it up. If not, you gotta come to Las Vegas. You can meet her. One of my sisters is here. You just came on a mission trip, right? And so God was there and we were able to see her get saved. Her name is Miss Munoz. And then she began to invite her family. She invited her husband. Her husband came. And then he began to come. And then he got to baptize his son. My point is, I wasn't sure what God could do at the school. There she goes, right? But God did. And I'm just reminding you, if anything, I'm a servant here to remind you, man, that God is able to do more than all that we ask or think. Let's go ahead and get ready to close this message up. He says, according to the power that is at work within us. May we never forget that God has the power to save. And that power is in us. As Romans 8 tells us, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us, amen? May we be reminded of the realities of God's word. A quote before we close from Dr. John Piper. He says, "If you don't see the greatness of God, then all the things that money can buy become very exciting. If you can't see the sun, you will be impressed with a streetlight. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, you'll be impressed with fireworks. And if you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with a world of shadows and short-lived pleasures." God is able to do more. We'll close with a final prayer from Paul. Let's introduce verse 21. We'll read it and we'll conclude our time with a response time and worship. He says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. Amen? Amen. To him be the glory. It's God's move. It's God's power. It's God's ability. It's God's glory. In the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we close, we're gonna close with a song of worship. And here's what I'd like for us to do right now. If you feel comfortable and you feel led by the Lord, we're gonna turn these steps into an altar. And if you wanna come down at all, and maybe you wanna repent of a small God theology, or maybe you wanna repent of not trusting the Lord in this season like you know he can, or maybe you just wanna get on the altar and say, God, I'm putting myself on the altar. I read a quote recently by an amazing president of a seminary. His name's Dr. Greenway. He said it like this: God can do more, amen? God can do more through you than you can ever imagine if you will simply put yourself on the altar and say yes. Yes, Lord. It amazes me that I'm even here. So I'm all types of messed up. But when I look at my story and our church plant and our church planting movement, the only answer is, man, God is able to do more. And I would encourage you this morning, if that's where you're at and you just need to surrender and put yourself on the altar, just do it. If we pass an offering basket, just put yourself in it. Just put me in the basket, Lord. Just use me. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Father God, I come before you in Jesus' name. And God, maybe there would be somebody in the room today like me that's just desperate for a move. Move in my life personally, a move in my family personally, a move in my city personally, God. And I pray now as we respond that we respond to the bigness and greatness of God. That your majesty would fill this place, fill this seminary. Because Lord, you're able to do more. So God, meet us right now in this moment and give us faith to respond however you lead us to do. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.